Hi, I'm Anne McElhinney.
And I'm Fela McAleer. And welcome to day 19 of the Harvey Weinstein Trial Unfiltered, which is normally a daily podcast using reenactments of the most dramatic moments of verbatim testimony from the trial. However, today we're going to do something different because the jury is out, as we told you the last time, the jury is out. So there'd be no real hearings as such. But that does not mean, since the jury started deliberating on Tuesday, there has not been action, intrigue, fights, insults.
Oh, yeah. A lot of drama. A lot more drama than one would have expected.
So we decided to do the special podcast to wrap it all up for you. Tomorrow, we expect a verdict.
So when you're actually listening to this today, Monday, and we expect actually later today that there will be a verdict. So you should be watching out for that, and we'll obviously be updating you as soon as we can.
Yes, I would say that the verdict will be noon Monday. Monday the 24th. So today there's not going to be any verbatim as such, no actors reading the lines. Just we're going to talk about a series of incidents and questions over the past 4 days that we're going to try and guide you as to what the jury is thinking. And who knows what they're thinking is the answer, but let's go.
But first, let's just remind you of what the trial is all about. In a case that basically launched the Me Too movement, movie producer Harvey Weinstein faces two charges of rape and one of a criminal sex act concerning two separate women. He also faces charges of predatory sexual assault, which carry a possible life sentence. So that might sound a little bit complicated, but believe us, it's about to get much more complicated than it sounds.
Yes, so, and this is part of the jury deliberation and part of the questions are asked. It's clear that they don't understand the charges. And you know what?
We think that that's actually very fair because sitting in the courtroom and talking to other journalists that are there and experts who are there, people
and
are
lawyers,
very confused.
And lawyers and people close to the defense case and people close to the prosecution case. It ain't easy. So basically, Harvey Weinstein is charged with raping and sexually assaulting two women, Jessica Mann and Miriam Haley. However, the jury has heard from a total of six women alleging different sexual assaults. Three of these women are so-called Molyneux witnesses, and the only reason they're giving evidence is to show alleged prior bad acts by Weinstein to bolster the case of Jessica Mann and Miriam Haley. So they can only pronounce guilty or not guilty on Mann or Haley. The other three witnesses are to show a pattern of behaviour, but a pattern of bad behaviour. Then, into this mix, is the remaining allegations by Sopranos actress Annabella Sciorra. And they're attached, unlike the other three Molyneux witnesses, her allegations are attached to the Mann and the Haley allegations separately to add up to the predatory assault allegations, the most serious allegations on the charge sheet. And if you think that's complicated, it gets worse. The jury cannot pronounce on the guilt or innocence of Weinstein on the Sciorra charges. They must find Weinstein guilty of the Mann or Haley allegations, and then and only then can they start to examine the Sciorra allegations to pronounce guilt or innocence. But they won't be pronouncing guilt or innocence on the Sciorra allegations. They'll be pronouncing guilt or innocence on the predatory assault charges. If they do not find Weinstein guilty of the Jessica Mann or Miriam Haley charges, then they cannot examine the Sciorra allegations. Confused? Don't feel too bad, because the jury is as well, and that'll be obvious from their questions to the judge over the last 4 days. Let's look at those questions. It started almost immediately, 40 minutes in. They sent a lengthy note asking for clarification on a number of legal issues. He asked for the legal definitions of sexual assault, the legal definition of consent. They also asked why the statute of limitations had run out for certain crimes, and they sought to understand why Weinstein was not charged with the crimes related to Sciorra's account. You know, so why aren't we being asked?
Because why are we listening? You know, so they were confused very much in the same way that a lot of people in the courtroom were confused. Why are we listening to Annabella Sciorra if then her, you know, this can't be part of the criminal case, basically?
So their questions indicated that they didn't really understand how the verdict form was structured, right? And by the way, if you want to see the verdict form, we're going to put it up on our Twitter account. So it's my name, Phelim McAleer, P-H-E-L-I-M-M-C-A-L-E-E-R. That's my Twitter account, or Anne McElhinney, AnnMcElhinney. We'll repeat this at the end.
So just to give you an idea of how complicated this is, I'm going to read out count one. It's called Count One, Predatory Sexual Assault, Miriam Haley, Annabella Sciorra. If you find the defendant guilty of count one, predatory sexual assault, then do not consider count two and instead proceed to count three. If you find the defendant not guilty of count one, predatory sexual assault in the first degree, for the reason that the people have failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant committed the crime of either rape in the first degree or criminal sexual assault in the first degree against Annabella Sciorra, then you must also find the defendant not guilty of count three and then proceed to consider counts two, four, and five. If you find the defendant not guilty of count one, predatory sexual assault, for the reason that the people have failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant committed the crime of criminal sexual act in the first degree against Miriam Haley, then you must also find the defendant not guilty of count two and proceed to counts three, four, and five. That's just count one. So just to give you an idea, I read that very quickly, but as Phelim said, we're going to put that out on Twitter.
Yeah, so I've spoken to sources close to the defense. I've spoken to some people, some prosecutors in Manhattan, and they say the confusion is very understandable and that the way the verdict sheet is structured will be a huge part of any appeal if Weinstein is convicted in any of the charges. They think this will be their best chance of an appeal because the verdict sheet is so confusing. They say that it almost directs the jury to convict. It's confusing, and there is a slight element of directions. You must go to this, you must go, you know, telling someone you must go to a charge, I mean, you know, why, you know, must is a strange word, so especially when you're directing the jury. Let's just hear what one of the questions the jury asked. The next portion we would like to request is an explanation on the law as to why we may find the defendant guilty of predatory sexual assault against Annabella Sciorra and not other crimes, or why the statute of limitations has or has not run for certain crimes. Next, we would like the court to confirm whether we could find the defendant guilty of both count four and five, or whether we can find him guilty of count three, four, or three or four or five. The next portion is we would like the court to confirm we can only find the defendant guilty of count one only if the prosecution has proven the crimes charged against the defendant for both Miriam Haley and Annabella Sciorra. And then two, guilty of count three only if the prosecution has proven the crimes charged against the defendant for both Jessica Mann and Annabella Sciorra.
It's very confusing, and clearly these questions coming from the jury are indicating that they're confused.
From that, and this is a guess, it looks like they believe Sciorra, but it's possible they don't want to convict on the Mann and Haley charges. You know, it's just the way they're asking those questions, and they're asking if they could convict just on Sciorra. The answer is no, but the judge did not spell that out in direct terms. He's not allowed to spell it out in that kind of direct terms. We had to go into this long-winded legal explanation.
Which probably didn't really advance anything that much further. But there were other questions asked,
yes,
and there were other things that the jury asked for. For example, they asked for a blueprint of Weinstein's apartment, because obviously that was the scene of some of these assaults.
Yes.
They also asked for the Black Cube emails. Black Cube, you'll remember, are the Israeli investigative
yes.
group.
So just to put the Weinstein apartment blueprints in context, Haley says she was sexually assaulted in the apartment in 2006. Tarali Wolf, one of the prior bad act witnesses, said she was sexually assaulted there in 2005. At the time, it looked like they were asking because of Miriam Haley, because they looked like they were going through the charges chronologically. The Black Cube emails, I'm surprised that they... I always felt, but maybe this is just me, that the Black Cube was a bit of a red herring in the sense that you're perfectly entitled to have private investigators investigate people, but obviously the jury is interested. I suppose they're interested in how Harvey Weinstein knew that Annabella Sciorra would be one of the people. And they're sort of thinking, does that mean he had a sense of guilt towards her? But again, this focus on Annabella Sciorra is interesting because they cannot convict on her alone. They have to convict her in conjunction with someone else. So then they asked more details. On the Wednesday morning, they asked for a transcript of Miriam Haley's direct testimony and cross-examination. Again, it looked like they were going chronologically. They asked for the transcript, but I don't think the jury realized that you can't get the transcript. And the judge wasn't happy. The judge described the law as very, very, and he hesitated for a while, and he said strict, and I think he meant idiotic, You're not allowed to give the jury...
I know, I just think that, I have to say, it seems completely idiotic. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. Why can't they get the trial testimony that they can, you know, have the transcript themselves, uh-huh. flick through it, find the stuff that they're looking for, yeah. and have it on tablets,
for
example.
Make it searchable.
Yeah, make it searchable, exactly.
So and what they have to do is the two court reporters, and that's the official people with the little machines, they read...
Yeah, so basically it's the 19th century all over again. So instead of actually using the technology that they have available, they have the court reporters reread these sections so the jury are brought back into the room and then you have the court reporters.
Some reporter, during this, one reporter turned around to me and said, you know, if they want to hear if they want the transcripts, you know, all they should, the judge should just give them the link to your podcast. There you go, at least the reporters are listening. So they read out Haley's testimony and... they wanted all the emails between the defendant and Miriam Haley and any emails from Harvey Weinstein regarding Miriam Haley. Who knows? I mean, this to me, so there's so many emails depicting a friendly and romantic relationship between these two individuals, between Harvey Weinstein and Miriam Haley.
It kind of indicates to me that there might have been an argument between, you know, in the jury room where some people might be characterising them as romantic and somebody else might say, that's not my memory of it. Uh-huh. So let's actually have another look at those emails.
And I think as... Donna Rotunno, Weinstein's defense lawyer, said, look, if there was any email out there where anyone anywhere sent an email saying, I have been raped by Harvey Weinstein, or even to a friend saying this happened and it's terrible, it would have been the size of a billboard in the courtroom. They don't exist, but hundreds, and that's not an exaggeration, hundreds of emails that show a romantic and friendly relationship exist. So, again, we don't know the motivation for these emails. So... they wanted Rosie Perez's testimony. So Rosie Perez is the actress.
Again, what I think we're describing as the world's worst friend. She's the one who apparently, allegedly, you know, received a phone call from Annabella Sciorra at the time of the alleged attack, a rape, and, you know, decided, you know, she didn't leave her apartment. She didn't call the cops. She didn't call the doorman. She didn't go over to her friend's apartment, they asked for that testimony to read to them. And they also asked for a copy of all communications between Weinstein and Paul Felscher. Again, that was the Weinstein's friend, the dumpster fire of a witness for the defense.
He was the guy who talked about a dog pile of actresses and people and said, you know, Annabella Sciorra, you know, his career had taken off since she made the allegations. He started off as he said Annabella Sciorra had told him she'd done a crazy thing with Harvey back in the day. And then, and quite a good witness, and then he just deteriorated the afternoon, admitting that he believed Weinstein was a sex addict. It was not good. They also asked for a copy of the PowerPoint presentation by Dr. Barbara Ziv, the forensic psychiatrist who testified for the prosecution about rape myths. Her evidence, very controversial.
Yeah, and she was basically the one, you know, who said, no matter really what you heard, nothing proved you hadn't been raped. My question that I wanted to ask Dr. Ziv was there anything that anyone could ever say that would prove to her that they actually hadn't been raped?
Yeah, so the jury weren't allowed to see her PowerPoint because actually it wasn't submitted in evidence. It was, you know, it wasn't part of the thing. It was just used for referential purposes. Then they asked for more Sciorra stuff. They actually... asked for a reread of the cross-examination and everything regarding Sciorra. So this is interesting that they're focusing so much on Sciorra. They've never asked for anything on Jessica Mann. Have you noticed that?
That's right. Well, my question on that is either that they've made a decision about Jessica Mann already, or they're doing this chronologically and they haven't got to her yet.
Yeah, well, but then, dramatic, on Friday, they announced they had reached unanimous verdicts on three of the charges, and they were hung and they could not make a decision on the predatory assault charges. So this does not look good for Harvey Weinstein. This would suggest that they have convicted him on something, on both Jessica Mann and both Miriam Haley's accounts. This would suggest this, and that they were then undecided on Sciorra, whether that went to the length of predatory assault. But I have to say the general consensus in the court was that Jessica Mann's case was the weakest. I was talking to one reporter and who I thought would have been for convicting Harvey Weinstein, let's say. And she was saying, well, obviously they're not going to convict on Jessica Mann. People were just saying it was obvious they're not going to convict on Jessica Mann. Looks like they have. Could be it. I spoke to someone close to the defense and it could be that they just don't understand the charge sheet, the verdict sheet, that they believe They can convict on Shiora alone. They don't understand that it has to be in conjunction with the other two.
So the judge basically, he then interrupted basically and he said he charged the jury to continue the deliberations. As I told you in my initial instructions, he said any verdict you return on any count must be unanimous. If you cannot return a verdict on a particular count, you cannot return a verdict on that count. Burke said, while sometimes juries think they could never get to a verdict, after further deliberation, most juries are able to reach a unanimous verdict. So he kind of really put it up to them that he wants them to get together, to deliberate this and to come up with a result. But it needs to be unanimous. Yeah,
there will be an answer today, I would think. One of the things the courts don't like, the appeal courts, is when judges bully juries and make them stay for a long time, kind of forcing them to compromise. You know, they want it to be natural and organic. So you'll know more today, probably. We'll have an answer. We want to thank you for all the comments. And we actually do notice that the comments saying we're improving. We're not talking over each other as much, but we are married, so it's just an occupational hazard. Please rate the podcast, and I see people don't like us asking to rate the podcast. You can give us a 1 star. We'd like you all to give us 5 stars, but you can give us whatever you like. And please do keep writing about what you think about our performance and the case. We read them all. We appreciate them all. We want it all. And unfortunately, there's no mechanism where we can reply in the comments. I would love if there was.
Yeah.
Because you raised some interesting questions.
And we would love to respond
to them. Write to us on Twitter. It's Phelim McAleer, PhelimMcaleer. And Anne McElhinney, AnnMcElhinney.
And also you can watch us on our Anne and Phelim Scoop podcast, our weekly podcast, which you can watch on YouTube.
Yes, and you can actually write in the comments of YouTube. So that's the Anne and Phelim Scoop. Write in the comments of YouTube. We can respond there. We'll be talking about the case over there as well also, but please write to us on the Anne and Phelim Scoop podcast on YouTube. And
we'll be talking to you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.